2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, before I say any, even read another word, let me say this is all real comfort. Yeah. There's a lot of people that find comfort in a whole lot of things, but it has nothing to do with the personal work of God in Christ. Paul's talking about real comfort, sure. Spiritual comfort, which is actual comfort. Who, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See the mutual thing here? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, now just note that, I'm not even going to talk about some of this, but yeah. The sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Notice those words. A lot of people like to wish that word salvation was only used in certain places, but it's used in a variety of ways in the Scripture. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be of the consolation. And note that. You will either suffer the sufferings of the gospel, or you have no place in the gospel. Not even going to preach about that. But now, here's what I want to try to begin to zero in on. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. Remember I mentioned that last week? Here's another one of them passages. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. And I do believe here Paul is allowed to, he is inspired of the Spirit of God, but he's allowing to express himself as he felt. Okay? We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, that is to trust in God, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now, I want to ask a question starting this morning. Have you ever wondered, and I'm sure most here have, have you ever wondered, why am I so weak? Why am I so weak? Whether it's spiritually or even physically, why am I so weak? And let me point this out. Our physical weakness can affect our spirituality as well. Our physical state. Oh, yeah. Do not ever get the idea that the spiritual state is somehow totally separate from your physical state. As though, you know, somehow, well, this old body under its under the judgment of God by the fall, and that's one separate thing, and then but this spiritual thing, boy, I'm ready to roll. You might feel that way at times, but let me tell you, it's gonna get worse. Yeah. You're gonna get tired. You're gonna get old. You're gonna start to forget. You will find out how faulty you really are. That's what's going to happen to you. Well, that's a lot of confidence. That's a lot of comfort I'm giving you this morning, ain't it? But remember, you got to have the bad side to experience the good side.
Yes, sir.
Most of religion today is just all they want to talk about is the so-called good side. Yeah. Why am I so weak? You remember there was that account given us Matthew gives it, Matthew chapter 26. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to turn there. But when our Lord went to Gethsemane, he took the 11 with him. Judas had done left, went to betray our Lord. He took the 11 with him. He left, what would it be? Seven, it'd be eight, somewhere there at the garden. He took three others, Peter, I think it's James and John, I think it was. He took the other three a little further into the garden, and he told them three, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, is that not James and John? It doesn't really matter. But he took the three more a little further, and he said, you stay right here and you pray, and I will go just a little bit further. He went over. He come back. What did he find? What were they doing? They were asleep. Now, don't get me wrong this morning, and don't get this wrong. Paul's not talking about, I'm here to comfort everybody that sins against God. Is that what he's talking about here? That ain't what he's talking about. Although our weakness at times may cause us to sin. Oh, yeah. That's not the point. The point is the trouble, being what pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that there are times when you may even despair of life. We may cry out, why me? Yeah. Why me? Why am I in this condition? So our Lord comes back, he finds him asleep. He basically says to Peter, what's up? What you sleeping for? Pray, leaves, and goes away again. He comes back, and guess what they're doing again?
Exactly.
They were asleep again, weren't they?
Amen.
Why were they asleep? Because they hated Christ? No. Because they were defiant against God? Well, God's going to save me by His grace, I don't care what. I'll just sleep now. Was that their attitude? If you got that attitude, you're lost. And I'm not playing games. If you got that kind of attitude, that's not a fallen believer. That's unbelief. That's the rebellion I warned against last week. That's what that is. No, why? They're human, and we must sleep. We get tired and can't take no more. That's just the way it is. And what did our Lord say? You remember the words. The Spirit indeed is willing. But the flesh, and I don't think that he's even talked about the Adamic nature. The Adamic nature is not weak, it's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's dead.
Yeah.
He's saying the flesh, our bodies, humanity, we are what? Weak.
Amen.
Weak. Why? Why am I so faulty? And we might ask, why am I so sinful? Because sometimes our weakness, even physical weakness, Mason, may lead us into sin. It may. Why do I despair? We have an answer here.
Yeah.
Don't we? We'll just read it again, in case you missed it when we read it.
Yeah.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Paul acknowledges that. Why? Mm-hmm. Now, there's not a why there, but he gives the answer.
Yeah.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why, Paul? That we should not trust in ourselves. That's why you and I are like we are even after God saves us. God could have done it differently. Yeah. He could keep you from that. He kept one king from sinning against Sarah. Remember that? God can. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. He turneth it whithersoever he will. God can do as he pleases. And let me say, God does as he pleases.
Amen.
And we have the sentence of death in ourselves. The first reason is a negative reason. Why? So that we do not trust in ourselves. We have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Do you see that? But in God, which raiseth the dead. Three things, first of all, as still by way of introduction, I want to say about this. Number one, such a simple answer. Isn't it? Isn't that a simple answer? Straightforward, right to the point. Well, what if I have this trouble? What about this? Whatever your trouble is, if you can view it as death, that's what Paul's talking about here. You see that? Death. And he's not just talking about physical death. He talked about having the sentence of death where? Even in yourself.
Exactly.
Such a simple answer. Yet, number two, such a profound truth. Look how profound that is. God has us where we are, as we are, like we are, so we will trust Him and not ourselves. That's simple, but profound.
Yes, sir.
Profound. Think about it. Start to finish, it's God Almighty.
Amen. That's it.
I mean, there was one preacher, I think, who was it? If I can get his name, his brother, there was the two brothers, Charles Wesley, his other brother,
John
Wesley, said that salvation was like this. I may have the percentages off, but it's close. Salvation by grace is God does 98% and you do 2%. He may have had even more for God and less for you. But no, that's not what it is. We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? So that we do not trust in ourselves. How much percent of the time? None of the time. None of the time. Paul says we are the circumcision that has what? No confidence in the flesh. None. Not just a little. None. None. Start to finish. Beginning to end. Right? Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a wrath. That was back there. Wait a minute for you all. Back there. What? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us. That's right now. In whom we trust that He will what? In the future. Yet deliver us. In other words, there's never a time I should trust in myself. Now, I want you to think about how simple, but how profound that is. That answers a lot of the arguments in religion today. Well, does man have a free will? What if he did? Should you trust in yourself?
Exactly. That's it.
Now, the fact that Scripture does not allow man a free will. Man doesn't have a free will.
That's right.
It's a so-called free will. But right there, look at that. If I'm not to trust in myself but in God, then what do I trust in anything that I am?
That's it.
Now let me clarify here. When we say the Scripture does not say, man, the Scripture doesn't teach that there is anything such as free will in man. Man is a slave to his corruption and his sin. He is in bondage to sin. He is dead in trespasses and in sin. But that doesn't mean man doesn't have a will.
That's right.
Man has a will. It doesn't mean man don't make choices. He and she. We make choices. The problem is we can't make the right choices.
That's exactly.
We always choose the wrong thing. What are we supposed to trust? Ourself or God?
Exactly.
So I don't care what a man or a woman says you got.
Yeah.
You got this, you got that. It don't matter. Don't trust in yourself. I mean, it hit me here just several weeks ago. I mean, since our Lord prayed, and I'm not going into trying to define all that because I think that's a simple yet profound thing. He said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If even he prayed like that, how much more ought I to pray like that, to believe like that, to think like that, to conduct myself like that? Trust in your free will. Men think free will. You know what? Free will is man's denial of all the truth of the difficult things in Scripture.
Right.
That's what it is. Those hard things in Scripture, free will is nothing more than man's attempt to soften those things.
Yeah.
Scripture says God hardens whom He will. So if He hardens your free will, if you had one and He hardens it, what good's it going to do you?
Exactly. That's it.
Right? I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll harden whom I will. So then what good does your free will do? And here's the point. What good does your will do? Because you got one.
Yeah.
And Paul answers that, doesn't he? It is not of him that willeth.
Amen.
Nor of him that runneth. But of God that showeth mercy. Yeah. No trust in the flesh. How long? Beginning to end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Beginning to end. But my opinion is. You ever felt that way? But why is this circumstance like this? Because God said so. Why did this happen to me? We ought to say, why not? No matter what trouble you have fallen, no matter what circumstance has befallen you, it could be worse. God could abandon you forever in the lake of fire. It could be worse. And for some folks, they talk about how bad life is now. They don't know how bad it's going to get. I mean, I can't fathom. It causes the hair on the back of my neck to stand up when I sit and think and ponder about it, that the rich man lived lavishly and he died. And what does the scripture say? In hell, he lifted up his eyes.
Amen.
Can you imagine the shock?
Yeah.
The horror? That's the pain?
I don't even
like to sit around and think about it very long because it frightens me so much. Free will is a lie. Don't trust in it.
You're right.
Because you got a will, you better not trust in it.
Exactly.
And it ain't even free.
That's right.
Isn't that what this teaches?
Yeah.
We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead.
Amen.
But number three, such an impossible endeavor apart from the free, sovereign grace of God.
Amen.
I cannot even think about endeavoring in such a thing as that, apart from the free and sovereign grace of God. Because to some degree, I do know what I am by nature. I know not only how prone I am, but how much I love to trust in myself, because I manifest it just about every day. Somebody will call you on something and you know you're dead wrong, but what do? You just intend. I'm going to justify myself. I don't care if it hair-lips the world. And you know the whole time I ain't nothing but an idiot. And usually we don't even admit we're an idiot. It takes me getting up here preaching before I usually admit that. And that woman right back there will tell you that. That's just the way it is. We're not just prone to trust in ourselves. We love to trust in ourselves. Why? Because we think we're trustworthy.
Yeah.
Don't right. We? We think we're trustworthy. Such an impossible endeavor apart from free grace. But why is this so? Why is this such an impossible endeavor apart from grace? Why is it such a difficult... Read, Paul, there. You can... If you read it and you have the Spirit of God at all and you've suffered any at all under any kind of circumstance or different varying circumstances, you can read that and you can relate to the Apostle Paul. You can almost feel what you think he felt, can't you? You've been there to some degree or another as a believer. Why is this so? Three things here. Number one, because circumstances often seem to defy providence. Don't they? Circumstances often seem to defy providence. How can this be to my good? Right? Now, you know, when we're young and we make a profession of faith, we think that somebody, because somebody calls us a bad name when we're young, oh, I've suffered for the Lord. Our Christian life's so tough. And let me tell you something. I don't mean to belittle that, because you know what? It can be tough.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I was making a little fun there, but let me tell you, it can be tough. Because when people call you names, it hurts.
Yeah.
When your friends turn their back on you because of what you believe and who you believe, it hurts.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it's going to get tougher.
Yeah.
It's going to get tougher.
Yeah.
It ain't going to get easier.
Yeah.
It's going to get tougher. Why? Because the circumstances often seem to defy providence. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. On none of these three, a lot of time. Number two, because circumstances overwhelm our ability.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll find yourself in a place you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You can't change it. You may want to change it. You may cry yourself to sleep at night and during the day, but there's not a blessed thing you can do to change your circumstance. And the more you try, sometimes, guess what? The worse it gets.
Yeah.
The more you try, the worse it gets. And thirdly, here's why. Here's why it's so. Because our flesh is repulsed by God's way.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. Yeah. That flesh that's still with us today, even as regenerated, converted, elect. Our flesh is repulsed by God's way. This can't be the best way. Well, let me just put it this way. It is God's way. Deal with it. You can argue all day long as whether it's the best way. It is the way it is. Deal with it like it is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying that now on this side. Because the circumstance that hits me tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? I may crumble up in a little ball.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you look at me and you think, boy, he's right up here. Listen, let me tell you, it took me a while to get to this state, even this morning, to say this. Back when the circumstance was on top of me, it was... You remember Earl, crawl up in the corner, poor pussy, and pet yourself? Poor thing. I'm just, oh God, my life's so bad. You know? We do that, don't we? We do that. Because our flesh is repulsed by God's way. We hate it. Our flesh hates it. This can't be right. But does not the scripture acknowledge that what God does is right?
Amen.
It is right.
Amen.
I mean, no matter what circumstances I've had from the beginning up till right now, no matter what they are, I deserve a lot worse than what I've got.
Exactly. That's it.
Whatever it be. And I'm not naming certain circumstances. You know why? Because the circumstance itself don't matter. Because God Almighty put you under that circumstance to teach you a lesson if you're one of His. Guess what that lesson is? Don't trust in yourself, trust in me. That's what the lesson is. Why does this happen? Right there it is. Oh, we'll find out in the sweet by and by. We'll understand it better. Yeah, you will. But right now we even have the answer. Why do we have the sentence of death in yourself? Why are you like you are? Why are your circumstances like they are? So you don't trust in yourself, but you trust in God that raises the dead.
Amen.
Simple? Yeah. Profound? Yeah. Impossible? Apart from grace? Absolutely impossible.
Amen.
Nevertheless, faith's experience goes from subjective trust to objective trust, and yet faith never abandons subjective trust. Now, I said that just so maybe it'll catch your attention. You probably won't remember that when you walk out that door. Now, it's on that tape. It should be. So you can get it. But I'm telling you, I'm not trying to talk about how wise I am. I'm saying here's the truth here.
Yeah.
This is truth because Paul states it here. Let me read it again. Faith's experience goes from subjective trust to objective trust, and yet faith never abandons subjective trust. Where do we read that at? Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver.
Amen.
In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
Let me try to splanify that for you, as Art Neuenswanger used to say. Let me try to explain that. All of us, and what Joe preached was right, but all of us began with the preaching of the gospel. That's where our experience begins. That's where we begin to recognize what's going on with us,
exactly.
Is the preaching of the gospel. Don't come to me about, well, I was regenerated way back yonder, and boy, I still did this and did it. Quit making yourself feel good. Don't worry. The question is not when was I regenerated. The question is, have you been converted?
Yes, sir.
Because I don't care how much you think you're being regenerated. If you're not converted, you got no reason to think you've been regenerated.
Exactly.
Even if regeneration took place 10 years before you were converted, don't brag on your regeneration. You better hope in the fact that God converted you.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of people had experiences and all of a sudden were revealed things. Weren't they? Balaam was revealed some things,
yes,
wasn't
sir.
It? I'm not even going there. We all begin by the gospel. What is the gospel? It's something that faith must lay hold of subjectively. I didn't see none of that happen. Yeah. All I'm doing is believing words.
Yeah.
I'm believing what somebody else said about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All of this book was written almost 2,000 or more years ago, wasn't it? And I am believing these people. God didn't even personally write this, Mason. He used men to write this. Faulty men. One who said, pressed out a measure above strength, insomuch I despaired even of life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you call subjective trust. In other words, we're just believing words. But let me tell you something. It moves into objective trust. Why? Because he doth deliver me. God has actually delivered me from many of things, including myself on many occasions.
Yes, sir.
He's proved it to me. I've moved from just subjective trust to where I've actually experienced God delivering me.
Yes, sir.
From myself or from some circumstance or maybe even in some circumstance.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at? But yet, in spite of Joe, the objective reality of his delivering, I still have to trust that he will yet deliver me.
Amen.
That's subjective trust. It's just words, though. It's just words, isn't it? He says, I'm going to awaken his likeness one day. I don't have any proof of that other than this right here.
Exactly.
You know that? I have not the faintest thing of proof. No matter all the objective proof I've had up to this point, when he says one day you'll be done with all this, you're going to be with me in glory, glorified. I still have to subjectively trust him in that, do I not? It's just words. Now there are thousands, yea, maybe even millions, who've already experienced that, but I haven't yet. And God won't let them come back and tell me about how it's been. There were three men that were allowed such an experience, and even they kind of got it wrong. You remember that? These Saint Peter, James, and John went up into the mountain. Guess who they got to see? Moses and who was it? Elijah? And what did Peter say? Well, let's build tabernacles for all three of you, Lord. Didn't they?
Yeah.
So we'd probably get it wrong even if he sent somebody back to us.
Exactly.
Now, wouldn't we? We'd screw it up some way or another. But why? Why would we? Wait a minute. We got the answer. So that we don't trust in ourselves, but trust in God that raiseth the dead.
Amen.
It's just the way it is. Yeah, I'm going to read it. But Psalms 34, 17, 18, and 19, it says, God delivers his people out of all their distresses. All their distresses. But yet when I read Romans chapter 8, listen to the way the Apostle Paul puts it. We often want to be delivered. Now it says, I will deliver them from all their distresses. But he doesn't say out of all their distresses. You see, there are times God may deliver you out of this or that certain distress. But he also may deliver you through that certain distress. The distress may stay there until its appointed end, and it may be on you just like nails in a coffin. How am I going to survive this? Right? How am I going to survive it? I survive it because of God Almighty's grace, that's why. Look at Romans chapter 8, and you know the passage. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what you've got to look forward to as a believer.
That's it.
Now, do you want to be one?
That's it.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, go somewhere else, because that's the only kind of gospel I got today, in any day.
Yeah.
But look, nay, in. Now, look at those words. Make sure you get it. It's there for a reason. Not from, but in all these things. In them. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
We are more than conquerors. But I don't see that.
Yeah.
trust it to be so.
Amen.
You see? We are more than conquerors. How? Through Him that loved us.
Amen.
He loved you. If He loves you today, He loved you when you were an enemy. When you were shaking your fist at Him and say, I refuse to believe you. I refuse to bow to you. I refuse to walk according to your way. I'm going to do what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And you know what? God still loved you. If He loves you today, He loved you then.
Yeah.
And He brought you out of that.
Yeah.
He brought you out of that. And you know what? Sometimes we still say that today. Those of us who've been brought out of that, David, we still want to, like I said last week, we still want to ease over to the precipice. Huh? Well, I'm glad I ain't in there. I can stand right here near it. Hmm? Yeah, we do. We do. No, we trust what? That God did deliver us, He doth deliver us, and we trust that He will yet deliver us.
Yeah.
Faith in God is not blind trust. It is trust, and it is subjective trust, but it's not blind trust. Romans chapter 5, look at it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you see that? Now, it does not say, therefore, being justified by faith, God has peace with you. Christ has already made peace with God for you on your behalf.
Amen.
That's done. And even faith can't bring you to that. That's either done for you or it will never be done.
That's right.
But therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In other words, faith causes me to lay down my weapons against God.
Yes, sir.
That's what it does. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. And that word can be boast. I know that. I think they tried to make it a little less, you know, rejoice. It's the same word, boast.
Yeah.
Boast in hope of the glory of God. Why? Because we're something?
No,
because God promised it.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Look, and not only so, but we, here we go. I said rejoice. I was the wrong word. And rejoice in hope of the what? Boasting of God. I'm sorry, that was the word glory. Glory is the word boast. And not only so, but we also what? Boast in tribulation also. Why? Because we just love it so much? There ain't a one of us that loves tribulation. And if you say you do, you're sick. You need some medicine. You need $40 or whatever it takes now on your insurance to go to the doctor and let him give you some pills. Because you got some problems. He'd give you some drugs to calm you down or something. No. We glory in tribulation also. Why? Knowing that tribulation works what?
Yeah.
Patience. You know, just be patient. You can't. It takes trouble.
Yeah.
God's got to work it in you, and He's going to do it by trouble.
Yeah.
He's going to put you in such a predicament, such a circumstance, that you're going to find out, I cannot but wait on God. Because every time I try to do something, it gets worse. That's right. That's the way it works, folks. I've been there, I know. We glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation work of patience. What? And patience what? You know what that word experience, you know what that word is? It could be proof.
Yeah.
Proof! Why? Because God took me there, and like Earl said over here up in the holler when he preached with Henry Mahan, God's going to take you somewhere, and God's going to bring you back. And I didn't really understand what Earl Cochran was talking about that then. Oh, I knew it doctrinally until what? Until God took me to that place.
Yeah.
And I thought, good lands, look where I'm at. And guess what God did? He brought me back to where I needed to be.
Amen.
Why? Because of the Word. And patience, what? Proof! And a lot of people are all, the only proof you've got is this or that. No, there. God will actually prove to you that He's going to deliver you. Look at you sitting here today.
Exactly.
Look, you're still here.
Yeah.
Now, is that absolute proof? No, but it's still what? Proof. And all that you've went through, the times when you said, it's over for me. I can't make it any further. I believe I'm done with this. And guess what? You couldn't be done with it, could you?
Yeah.
couldn't be done with it. And patience, experience, that is proof. And what does proof give you? What's proof give you? Hope. Why? Because next time will be just like this one. Even if the circumstance is worse next time, the outcome will be the same.
Yeah.
My good, His glory.
Amen.
Does it not?
Yeah.
And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And what does hope do? I'm not ashamed of my God. That's what He's... Now, you're going to be... You think, but I've been ashamed of myself. You better be.
Yeah.
You need to be.
Yeah.
That's right. Because there's never any justification for sin, for failure. Never. Never. Who are you not ashamed? What are we not ashamed of? God Almighty and His sovereign purpose. Right?
Amen.
And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. And then He gives us an example. If God did for you what He did for you when you were like you were to start with, an enemy, how much more now that you are His friend?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what He goes on to say there. Look at it. Faith in God is not blind trust. Well, I'm going to believe this just because I got to get to heaven. Well, you're probably not going to make it there.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, I don't say this to be mean. Penny and I and another person were talking about Noah. And the question was asked, well, all them people that drowned in that flood, did they go to hell? You know, here's the point. What does it matter?
Exactly.
Why are we wanting to know the answer to that?
Yeah.
Because maybe I could be outside the ark and I could be okay. That's what we really are wondering.
Yeah.
Now, come on now. Quit playing games. That's what all those people in Sodom and Gomorrah that died under the fire and brimstone, did they all go to hell? Because maybe I could stay there and still be okay. You know what the actual answer is? No, they went to hell.
Yeah.
Because it says Noah condemned the world.
Yeah.
Everybody outside of that boat died and went to hell. Because when God said build a boat, what did Noah say? Well, Lord, if I'm one of your elect, I'll be okay. Let's not worry about that. Right?
Yeah.
When God said to Abram, get up and get out. This is not the place I purpose for you to be. Let it be all right, God, if I'm one of yours. You've spoken to me. Everything will be just fine. Is that the way it works? No, it ain't the way it works. Abraham, by faith, did what? Got up and got out. But did his trouble stop? No, actually, his trouble started then.
Exactly.
That's when it started. Faith is not blind trust. But, we'll move along. Moreover, we've had a nevertheless. Remember, nevertheless, faith experience goes from subjective trust to objective trust, yet faith never abandons subjective trust.
Right.
Because this ain't the end of it. If this is all there is,
yeah.
Paul says we are of all men most miserable.
Right.
Thank God it ain't all there is.
Amen.
But we still have to subjectively trust for the rest of it, right?
Yes, sir.
Moreover, though, there is a moreover here. Moreover, there are objective, tangible supports. Look at verse 11. Let me get back to where I was at. Ye also helping together. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't have time to go through all the verses. Let me tell you something. You and I as believers are not islands.
Exactly.
We do not exist even in Christ on our own. I cannot do without you.
That's it.
I can't. Now, is God sufficient if His providence puts me in a circumstance? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But does that mean I should be defiant and say I can handle all this on my own? You or I, either one, will be in trouble if you do that.
Yes,
I've got to read you this one. 2 Corinthians, well, right here, chapter 2, look at it. Verse 11. Verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, I mean, who wants to go to Troas? You ever just thought of Troas? That don't even sound like a glamorous place, does it? Troas. Maybe it does to you, but it don't to me. Troas. I mean, Beckley sounds better than Troas. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, what? To preach Christ's gospel.
Amen.
Think about that. That's a glorious thing. Is it not? Oh, you bet it is. Look. And a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Not only I'm going to Troas to preach the gospel, but God's opened the door for it.
Yep.
That's a glorious thing, is it not? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the happiness that filled Paul's soul when he realized this was so? Right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you? Have you ever had a loved one show an interest, Joe, in the gospel, and yeah. you got to speak to him about Christ? How happy did that make you?
Yeah.
It's glorious, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
But look, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. He expected Titus to be there, and guess what?
Yeah.
He wasn't. And guess what? I had no rest. Yeah. If you can do without the people of God, you don't need the people of God
yeah.
because you're on the outside of the people of God.
That's it.
And let me tell you, that is grace.
Yes, sir.
That's grace. Because Scripture says, and you can turn to it, 1 Corinthians 12, read it, the whole chapter actually, but mainly verses 14 through 27. We are many members, but we are what? One body, fitly joined together. And the foot cannot say to the mouth, I don't need you.
Yeah, exactly.
The hearing can't say to the speaking, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah,
we're not an island. As Henry Mahan said, you're not your own pastor. You're not your own brother. You're not your own sister. You're not your own companion. You need somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
You need somebody else. And you know what? As a child of God, you will realize that. Oh, there'll be times when you think, I had some circumstances. I thought, I can handle this. Yeah, right. I found out I couldn't handle this. I thought, you know what? Finally I realized, I'm going to be exposed for what I really am.
Yeah.
Huh? You ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Now it's going to really come out what I really am.
You
know? Why? Because let me tell you, there's some bad things that I really am.
Exactly.
My flesh is just as corrupt as it ever was. And there'll be times to my own shame that I've walked in it. Huh? Hmm? Yeah. But why? So that I would not trust in myself,
Amen.
But in God that raiseth the dead.
Amen.
My summary is this. We need one another.
Yeah.
We need one another. And I will add, God is sufficient even when you don't have me around or I don't have you around. God's sufficient. But don't think you can ever be defiant and everything will be okay. Because it can't be. We need one another. But two, trusting God is paramount in all of it. He doesn't say we trust in one another because I may fail you on occasion. You may fail me on occasion. We may fail one another on occasion. But guess what? God never fails us. Even if circumstances seems to what? Say otherwise. We need one another. Trusting God is paramount. Now here's the thing, and I'm not going to try to give an answer. What is the end of your circumstances? That's all I can ask. You got to answer that. I can't answer that for you. What's the end of every circumstance you've ever went through? Now if you're in one right now, you might not be quite so sure, but you got to look back at the one that's already over. To get the answer to that. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to try to give an answer to that other than this. If your circumstances drive you away from God, then you don't know God.
Right.
But if your circumstances drive you back to God,
yeah.
You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we're just like Jonah, we try to run from him.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And people's got this idea, well, boy, I've always been here and I've been here all this. I've come every Sunday. Yeah, but you've run from God on occasion.
Yep.
Don't you kid yourself. And I have too.
Yep.
You know? But where does that, I run from him, but what happens? It's like Jonah. He brings me back to where I'm supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
Now see, if that don't happen, if Jonah could have just kept going, Joe, guess what?
Yeah.
The book of Jonah would have been a whole lot different, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Huh? It'd have been a book about Jonah, not a book by Jonah.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you figure?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big difference in that. What is the end of your circumstances? Where do they lead you to? In other words, as the old saying is, the proof is in the pudding. Only time will tell for sure.
That's right.
Right? Only time will tell for sure. Father, teach us these things, though, Lord, we realize from this passage that often they are hard lessons and must be learned in a hard way. But, Lord, you are faithful. Enable us, God, to trust you and not ourselves. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.